All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Chris Hoke, brought to us by McVay Plumbing and Heating, two-time Super Bowl champion, sitting across from me with his trusty notebook filled with highlighted notes and lines. You know that this guy's broken down the film. He's going to be with me in studio until noon. And Fan Twitter's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line if you want to weigh in. Perhaps with a question for Chris. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hokie, the first order of business today, we had our friend City Limits come in here and mentions a Neil Walker basketball event at Baldwin that's coming up on
October 9. Yeah.
I've always been fascinated with the Steelers basketball team. I don't think they do it officially anymore, but I used to watch you guys. I used to come to games.
It used to be so much fun.
You used to be an animal.
I love playing those games. I'd play in probably 30 games every offseason, and we'd go all over Western Pennsylvania.
You wore a knee brace, as I recall.
No.
Yes, you did. No knee pad?
No.
Goggles?
Goggles.
You were unbelievable under the boards.
But are you talking about Kurt Rambis?
Maybe.
Kurt Rambis wearing goggles.
You were a Kurt Rambis-like player. I remember Antoine Randall-El, who played for
Antoine
Bobby Knight.
Antoine was really good. Brett Kiesel was really good. I mean, we had a lot of good players that played.
You guys were really good. And I bet once or twice you faced an overzealous like teacher from North Hills
times.
Or somewhere.
There's no question.
What would happen
times.
When a guy got a little rowdy?
They'd get knocked to the ground if we're going for a layup or something, or we're going for a rebound. They just get a little. Every once in a while, you had to send a message, but that happened very rarely. Tom O'Malley. He would deliver that message. Listen,
legend.
These guys are
legend.
We're not here to come out here and have a smash mouth kind of type of game and physical game. We're out here to raise money for charity, and that was the whole message. And so most people got the memo. Sometimes they didn't, and there'd have to be a conversation. I saw T.O. lose his cool a couple times because guys would get a little feisty. They'd get a little physical, and T.O. would have to let him know. He was our bodyguard. He was our coach. He was our leader.
Who was the best Steeler basketball player you ever played with?
I played with some good
Ben
ones.
Ben was really good. 6'5"
Ben didn't play a lot, but he played from time to time. And when he played, he was really good with the ball. Great shooter. Great, you know. Listen, these quarterbacks in the NFL, they're athletes. You know what I'm saying? Ben was an athlete, he was a competitor, and he'd go out and play. I played with him a few times. I thought Randall L. was really, really good. I think he played at Indiana
under Bob Knight.
Yeah, I believe he played a little bit. And then Kiesel was really good underneath.
He was unreal.
There was a lot of good players. Those are the ones that really stand out that were really, really good. There's a lot of guys that just athletes that could shoot, that could play.
Now, City Limits read us the roster for players on this game. Is it at Baldwin High School?
It is. It's the Hoops for Hospice celebrity basketball game.
Read us some of the players who are going to participate. Hokie's going to be on the court.
Yes.
This was a very, I'll say, eclectic list of players.
Yes.
Let's hear some of them.
Steve Blass is going to be there. He's our friend TK, Tyler Kennedy.
Steve Blass is an incredible athlete, but I think he's older than Ron at this point.
That is correct. Yes.
That's got to be pretty old.
Very few people are, but I bet you Steve Blass is still probably good. Who else?
Lily Lips.
Yeah.
Michael McHenry.
Wow.
Carl Krauser.
Oh, my God. He's going to be giving the X on the court. You better watch out for him, Oak. He's legit. Tyler Kennedy, did you say?
Tyler Kennedy is playing in this, yes.
He's going to dump the basketball into the corner and go muck and grind over there. You got to watch out for him, too. Did you say Ontario Lett?
Ontario Lett as well. Mike Logan. I'm excited to see how this goes.
Are you going to play?
I'm the PA announcer for it.
We should get somebody from the Fan to play. Should I play?
You should play, yes.
Who do we contact?
Neil Walker.
Get me in. If Steve Blass is playing, for God's sakes, I'm just going to walk up and down the court.
Were you a player at one time?
Yes, I was good.
As good as your golf game?
Much better than my golf
game.
At this point.
I heard Pomp beats you in golf.
Pomp's good.
We need Pomp to play.
Pomp shot a 70.
Pomp should be in
no,
this.
Pomp would be the coach. He'd be the bench coach.
He can be our coach.
Yeah.
At this point in my basketball career, I walk up and down the court like Chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest. You're that guy that plays from three-point line to three-point line.
Exactly. And I can shoot, Hokie. We'll get on the same team.
Let's do it.
We'll have a little inside-out game. I'll feed you on the post. They double-team you.
Bro, let me tell you, I haven't played basketball in a while. I might go out there and tear an Achilles or something.
Do you have Neil Walker's number?
I don't think I do.
Find it and text him and tell him I want to play.
I will. I'll ask Crowley. Hokie. The last time I asked Crowley, he didn't send it to me.
I can get the number. Hokie.
What's up, brother?
Let's talk Broncos game.
Yep.
And how that game went. And let's start with the most important position. Justin Fields was spectacular in the first half. And then the second half, it was something like 3 for 8. They didn't seem to want to do anything in the second half. How would you grade him overall?
First half, I thought he was an A. Second half, I thought he was a C. As I went back and looked at this film, immediately after the game when I was on the post game with Pomp, you know, I thought, man, he didn't play very well in that second half. I went back and watched the film and I studied it. And really, they just couldn't get into a rhythm offensively.
Yeah. I mean,
they were 0-for-7 on third down in the second half. They were 4-for-6 in the first half, right? So, and a lot of those those third downs they didn't convert were because of penalties, because of bad snap. And so they just couldn't get into a rhythm. One thing I thought was interesting was Justin Fields in the first half ran the ball 4 times for 26 yards. In the second half, he ran it 4 times for 1 yard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to me, it just seemed like he tried to stay more and throw the ball and stay in the pocket, or he roll out and was trying to be more of a thrower, when really his game, what makes him so dynamic and a threat to a defense, is his ability to run the ball. And for some reason, he didn't run as much in the second half when I think he should have. He took a bad sack in the second half where he had the middle wide open. He could have stepped up and he stayed behind the line of scrimmage and took a bad sack when he could have gotten a first down probably if he ran.
Well, we had Ben endorse Justin Fields this week on his podcast.
Yeah, he was very positive.
Football.
I think Justin's playing good ball, though. I mean, listen, he's showing an ability to throw a great ball on the run, to move the chains. He's not turning the ball over. And so I think that he's playing really good football right now. Second half, I don't think the offense at large played very well.
Well, let's hear what Ben had to say. I want to see if you agree with this, Hokie. This was on Footballing.
It's to me, if Russ is healthy, I'm sticking with Justin.
That was my next question.
I said it last week. I wouldn't, but what I saw today, I think that he has earned and deserves the right to stay there.
Agree or disagree, even if Russ is healthy?
I agree. I think that if he plays like he played in the first half, yes. If he plays like he played in the second half, then no. And again, it's not all on him in that second half, but he's the quarterback. He's the leader of the offense. First half. So, I mean, the whole feel of the game, they're winning. He's not turning the ball over. And so I think you ride the hot hand. And that's kind of what I think Coach Tomlin's going to do. Coach Tomlin right now is not going to talk about it. You go back and look at his press conference is on Tuesday. And he's not even going to entertain it. And he's doing it brilliantly, right? I'm not going to talk about a guy who's hurt, right? We're not even going to talk about this, even though you know what they're going to do. They know what they're going to do, I believe. But he's not even going to entertain that question or that discussion as long as Russ Wilson's not 100%.
Let me ask you this. You were part of great, great defenses. If you guys were sitting around this week with all your boys, Dick LeBeau as your coordinator,
sure.
Casey Hampton, Farrier, Harrison, Polamalu, Ryan Clark, whoever. What do you think would be your mode of attack, your game plan against Justin Fields? How would you go at him?
I think what you want to do is you want to keep him in the pocket. I think he's a much better thrower when he's on the run. When you make him sit in the pocket, he's not as consistent. His ball is not as efficient. And so what we would do is we would try to do a thing called a mush rush, where we would not try to get on the edge and try to, you know, beat an offensive guard or offensive tackle or center and open up some escape lanes that allow him to run. We would just try to collapse the pocket and just like a mush around him and make him throw that way. That's what we would do. And that's what we did to a lot of players. Like a Steve McNair kind of deal, right? Steve
Yes.
McNair is kind of very similar. All right. Steve McNair was bigger, thicker. But you never wanted him to get outside the pocket. So we try to collapse the pocket around him and not let him escape.
And obviously you'd be keyed up to stop the Steelers' run.
Oh, sure, sure. Listen, that was always our philosophy, though, Archie, was shut down the run. And so and it's the same kind of thing that's going to happen this week with Herbert, as we talk later, is you shut down the run and make Herbert beat you. And Herbert's banged up. And right now you make Justin Fields beat you with his arm in the pocket. And I think he would struggle to do that inside the pocket. If he got out of the pocket, that's where he makes beautiful throws, I think, on the run.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I mentioned earlier in the show is I really would love to see the Steelers get back to what you guys did against run games, you know, especially at home. But overall, some of their numbers have been good the past few years. Nothing like top five, though.
Yeah.
And even last year when they were okay against the run, they had Arizona come in here and rush for 150. Indy rush for 170. I want to see them when teams come here, especially a team like this with Jim Harbaugh, that's going to say, we're going to line up
and run.
They're
going to want to ground and pound.
You stop us. I want to see 35 carries for 64 yards, that type of thing, where you smash them. Can they do it? Is this defense capable of that?
They're equipped to, and I think they have a better defensive line than they've had in a while. They're healthy. A healthy Cam Hayward, I think, is playing really good football. Keon Benton played much better this last week than he did the first week. Ogunjobi, I think, is playing better football than he's played since he's been here in terms of the run game. And so you got some healthy guys in the middle, and then you got Loudermilk coming off the bench. You got, other guys come off the bench. And then you got your two studs on the outside. So they're more equipped to play that kind of football right now than they have. And so it's just a matter of going out there and doing it. This is going to be a good test for them because the Chargers want to run the football. And it's almost like playing the Ravens right now. Think about Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, same identity.
Greg Roman, offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but it's always, even before Greg Roman was there, when I was playing for the Steelers and we played the Ravens, there's an identity, there's a personality where they want to be very physical and they want to impose their will on you. That's the same identity right now, or personality that you're seeing developing with the Chargers. It's the same mentality, and this is going to be a big part of who this game, who is more physical and who imposes their will on each other.
For sure. Yeah. Even to the point with the Chargers that their two lead backs are former Ravens, J.K. Dobbins.
Their center's a Raven. Their tight end's a Raven.
It's unreal.
I think that they're helping bring that mentality over. You have your center who played for the Ravens, right? And so he knows Greg Roman's offense. You have your running backs. And you're really seeing J.K. Dobbins was really good at Ohio State, and he came out, and he's always been banged up. What a healthy J.K. Dobbins looks like.
Oh, man.
He looks explosive when he gets the ball in his hands. And he and Gus Edwards are two different. Gus Edwards is more of a physical back, and J.K. is more of a guy put his foot in the ground and just fly. And so I think they complement each other very, very well.
Chris Hoke joining me here in studio for the 11 o'clock hour. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We want you back with us again and again to talk Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Hokey, on the other side of the ball, the Steelers have the same mentality. Man, they want to run. They want to pound you. And it begins up front. And I got a question for you, because a line that you had with Pomp after the game the other day received a lot of headlines and talk this week. Talk radio, websites, everything else. This was you on Broderick Jones. And I quote, he showed up to training camp and looked uninterested in being there. What did you mean by that?
It's interesting, you know. I mean, I've played this game a long time, Starkey. I played in the NFL for 11 years. You see a lot of guys come and go. You see a lot of guys who are extremely talented, and they come to camp after having a pretty good season the year before, and they think they've arrived, and they think that hey, I'm good, right? And sometimes you get complacent, right? And let's just take his own words. But I mean, I'm saying something that is completely in line with his evaluation of his play after the Bills game. Mike Prezuda asked him a question in the locker room on the south side, like a day or two after the game.
Yeah.
Right? He asked him, is it your elbow? Is your elbow impacting how you play? What did Broderick Jones say? It's not the brace, his elbow brace, right? It's just me being able to lock into football. Hello. What? Lock into, what does that mean? I need to be more focused. If you're not focused, you're not interested in what's going on. If you're interested, you're focused. If you're focused, you're locked in. So he said it. He said he's not interested right now. He's got to be better and be locked in. He needs to improve his game and grow. And so the reality is, I'm just saying, you and people say, how do you criticize? And I wasn't criticizing. This guy is a super talented player. The Steelers wouldn't have moved up in the draft to pick him if he wasn't talented. He's a young guy that's growing, and he's maturing. I mean, listen, his comments after the game showed a big time maturity of what happened with the penalties. So I really appreciated that. I thought that was great. But people say, oh, Hokie, how can you criticize him for, you know, say he's interesting? You can criticize his play. Come on, guys. I mean, I played this game a long time. I've been around a lot of players. And the reality is, you could tell a player who's out there just going through the motions, who's out there just kind of just getting through practice and thinking, I've arrived. I've been around a lot of those players, right? So don't try to tell me, oh, how can you? I've been around this game for a long time. I've played 20-plus seasons, 11 in the NFL. So I've seen guys come and go. So I mean, that stuff is silly. The reality is, though, is that you have to continue to work on your game. Even Max Starks and Wolf, after the game, they kind of were talking and discussing about he needs to understand, it's not a direct quote, but the message, he needs to understand that he needs to continually be working on his game.
Yeah.
That says his game's not where he needs to be. You can't just look and say, I played well last year, and I was the catalyst for this turnaround in my offensive line, and everybody's talking about how great I am. You kind of start licking yourself. That's Coach Tomlin's words, right phrase. You start licking yourself, thinking you're great. And maybe that impacts your preparation, your training in the offseason, and your mentality when you come into training camp, and you're just, hey, I'm good. Every year is a different year. Every year you got to come in with a purpose. Every practice is going with purpose. And listen, I've heard it all. I read stuff on Twitter and all that. People say, well, Hokie, you know, how can Hokie criticize him? I saw him working after practice. Come on. You go out there practice. Some guys stand around and drink Gatorade and talk, and they might do a couple sets. Is he doing it with a purpose? Is he focused when his coach is talking to him? Is he listening to his coach? Or is he turning his head and looking at where the butterflies are? Or what a fan talking to him? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, people to criticize me for making a comment like that, I played this game a long time. How many seasons have those guys played?
I respect the fact that, A, you played the game,
yeah,
and B, you were there. You watch these things. This is first-hand observation.
But the thing is, listen, it's not hard. And other guys say that. Here's the problem sometimes is, guys that cover an NFL team, a professional team, they don't want to criticize someone because they're worried about, oh, am I going to get access? Am I going to be able to? Let's have some independent thinking here. Let's be honest about what we see. Nobody wanted to say anything about Mason Rudolph because they were scared they were going against the narrative of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I did, right? Nobody wants to go along with Dan Moore Jr. needs to be out. Dan Moore Jr. has outplayed these guys since they've been here. And everybody wants to say Dan Moore Jr. should be gone. He's now people are talking about, oh, hey, maybe we need to pay him and move one of the guys to a guard. Okay, listen, stop rolling with the narrative of the Steelers and be an independent thinker and stop saying, I don't want to criticize a player. And I don't do it in a mean way. I just said he looked interested.
Yeah.
It's no different than anybody else is saying. But people don't want to say things like that because they're worried that they're going to lose access or they're going to get ostracized by the team and blackballed. If you do it in the right way and you're not you have some tact, And you just say it, hey, this is an observation I see. That was my observation. You're fine. But stop trying to run with the narrative and say something that's out there that not everybody's going to agree with.
Chris Hoke in Fuego today, City Limits. Is he not?
I love it. He's batting 1,000 right now.
Wow. So,
that's
all
truth,
right,
though.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly your truth, right? You observed it. You put it out there, and you're standing behind it. So it is absolutely.
And listen, this is not personal. This happens all the time. Let me give you a story. When I played for the Steelers, there was a time when I'm not going to name names, a player that played for the team when I was there that spent a lot of time with Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis was a Hall of Famer already, right? Jerome Bettis was going to be on the team game one.
Yeah.
Right? He was going to be on the roster. And I remember being in the team meeting in training camp and Coach Cowher saying, listen, you're up staying up late with this guy, with Jerome. You're playing cards with Jerome. You're running with Jerome. You're doing all these things. He's going to be here on day one. You're not. We don't know. You just have to earn your spot. Stop running around and acting like you've arrived, like you belong, like you're a veteran. You've got to go earn your spot. And sometimes what happens is you kind of rest on your laurels and think, hey, I've done this and I've done that.
Yeah.
So I'm good. And he's a first-round draft pick. He's going to be here day one, but he's not a starter now. He got beat out by a rookie who's playing really good football right now. And so you have to learn, and I'm just saying, the reality is that it's not crazy for me to say, hey, this happens to people all the time where they have some success and they think, I've arrived. You have to come to practice every single day with a purpose, right? You have to sharpen your sword every single day. And I think that was something, that'd be something that Coach Tomlin would say. That'd be something that Coach LeBeau would have said when I played. Coach Mitch, I mean, Mitch would always say, when we'd watch film, John Mitchell, he'd point out Aaron Smith and Casey Hampton and Brett Kiesel and guys, and he would say, look at them. Look at them running the ball. Look what them make, putting pressure on the quarterback. They do it in the game because they do it in practice. I heard that a million times. What you do in practice shows up on game day.
So how does this play out? Because clearly, this is not what the Steelers had planned. They moved up to take this kid 14th, and he played last year. and now he's a backup swing tackle. That ain't the way it's supposed to play out. What would you do as far as position-wise with Futanu, Dan Moore? Tomlin said that Jones is going to get another chance. I don't see where unless somebody gets hurt. So how would you play it right now with Jones and all three of those guys?
I think you got to play him still. I think you got to get him in there, let him get a little taste. Here's the reality, guys. Is he went into the game and he was pressing. Right, Sarge. He was pressing, right? I have to believe he's never been really a true backup like this. Where usually when he's been ready to play, he's been a starter, high school, college. And so now he's backing up and he's thinking, whoa, this is unfamiliar territory. I was a backup for almost all my career. I started a bunch of games, but I was primarily a role player. So it's a mentality you got to have going into a game. And if you're not used to that, it can be tough. So he goes into the game and he's pressing. He's trying to do things, and his mind's moving faster than his body can. He comes in the first few runs, he misses his block, and his guy makes two tackles, right in the game, right? And then he had those three penalties, and it was tough. And I don't think it was because of a lack of ability. This guy's super talented. It's just a guy who's trying to figure things out. He's trying to mature and grow. And so Mike's saying, hey, listen, I'm not gonna put cold water on this guy. This guy's going to have opportunity to grow and progress as a player. I'm going to give him opportunities to get his confidence back. I think Mike's does a good job with this. He's got a really good beat on the players. He's got a real beat on how to get guys motivated. This has happened at times. Remember when Ike Taylor got benched?
Yeah.
Cower.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tomlin came back and he played. Ike sat down and he came back and he was a great, great, great player for us. I mean, Ike was a big-time part of those defenses.
So long range, what would you do with Moore, Futanu, and Broderick? Jerry Dulac has suggested moving Futanu to guard, yeah. Jones at right tackle, and Dan Moore. I don't know. Do you try to re-sign Dan Moore? Like, what would you do? What's the long range plan?
I think that's an interesting approach, right? You got you guys, and you've heard this argument about, hey, you can move Futanu down, or discussion. He's super athletic, and he's not overly stiff that he can't. He's not stiff at all, actually. They put him down at guard. And say he can't play. I think he could be a really, really good guard. He's a really good tackle right now too, and I think that's a kind of interesting place to go. And the other area is, do you just let Dan Moore Jr. go because he's going to be super expensive, and move Broderick over to the left and where everybody says he's more natural, and have Fautano play the right? I think there's some options here which are good for the Steelers to have, right?
What's more valuable, him playing tackle or guard, Fautano? Like, what's the more valuable position, more important position?
Well, listen, if you have three talented guys and he's the one guy that can go down, then it's guard, because you can utilize a first-round draft pick and a Dan Moore Jr. who's playing he's playing really good football right now. So to me, that's more valuable because you get all three guys on the field, right? And Broderick Jones, though, has to show that when he gets on the field, he's gonna produce. He's going to go out there and play at a high level.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Okay, I was thinking during the intermission there, and the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. That Broderick Jones talk, you were very impassioned during that. It was great. The part that still stands out to me, though, is Jones clearly has his share of the blame here.
Sure.
But what about the Steelers? Have they put him in the best position to succeed?
Listen, the reality is when you come in, you play where they put you, right? They had a guy, Dan Moore Jr., and they put him at right tackle.
But they really haven't put him at one spot. They've asked him.
But there's a lot of guys that are swing guys, right? Mm-hmm. Just because he's a first-round draft pick doesn't mean he's all of a sudden now they're required to put him at one spot. You know, the reality is he is, as Coach Tomlin has said, he is the one who has the greater ability to swing both sides. He's the swing guy. He's more able to do that. They don't think Faletano does that as well as he does. And Dan Moore Jr. obviously is not going to do that.
Yeah.
And so had they put him at a spot? Listen, as a football player, you go and you play where they put you. And I know he's different with a first-round draft pick. But the reality is your responsibility is when you take the field and play.
Is right? he going to be worth that 14th pick? Is he going to be a good player?
He's still young, right? He's still young. Think about it. He hasn't even started enough games to be a full season. So he hasn't really played a whole quote-unquote rookie season with 16 or 17 games. Give him some time. Remember, DeCastro struggled when he first came. And he remember he had the wrist, and he was there was questions about
too.
Him.
Didn't
the
he get hurt his rookie year?
Didn't he have hurt his wrist too? But he had some injuries.
Yeah.
And he turned into a Pro Bowl player. Give guys time to develop. Right. The reality is this: is that if Broderick Jones, if they wouldn't have drafted Faletano in the first round, Broderick Jones would still be playing there because he's a first round draft pick. But it's apples to apples now, right? You have a first round draft pick, and you have one who's played better and beat him out at this point, right? And that's just the reality of the whole thing. But if it was a first round draft pick versus a third or fourth, Broderick would be playing right now. It's just apples to apples at this moment.
Let me ask you about a couple of quick things that happen against Denver. Just random things.
Yep.
Van Jefferson, penalty at the goal line. Good call, bad call?
I think, again, a judgment call. A lot of those calls are subjective, right? And the reality is it happens, boom, boom. It looked like to the ref like he did set a pick. It went against the Steelers. It seems like a lot of these plays are going calls.
What did it look like to you?
Well, as you look at it slowly, I think it looked to me like he was trying to run a route and the corner was trying to come inside and come down the line. It was just a great design by the Steelers. But when you go out, these refs don't have an iPad in front of them where they go pixel by pixel. They're still, subjective, and there's still that human element to this game, which I think is good. But this right now, the ball is kind of bouncing away from the Steelers. It'll bounce back. It all evens out over a 17-game season.
The holding calls on Broderick, especially the one that
those are tough
out.
Calls. Those are holding, but they're tough, right? Because as Broderick Jones is playing the right tackle, and when you're expecting your quarterback to sit in the pocket. So we expect him to keep the guy. And then when Justin Fields rolls out and spills out, all of a sudden you have your guy coming off and you don't want to give up that sack. And he was closer than he liked. And it was a slight hold, but it was a hold, right? And again, it's those are called and they're not called. And he got called. And the thing that was bad was it was compounded, right? First start with a false start. Then it was a hold. Then it was on a run play. Then it was a hold on the pass. And it just kind of compounded. And then all of a sudden, as a player, even though he may have looked cool, calm, and collected, you start to panic a little bit. Oh, my gosh. And the first couple, I told you, two of the first three or four runs, he missed his block, and he watched him, and you could see him smack his hands together like he knew that was on him. So this all started to compound. Two missed blocks, tackles, false start, oh, goodness, holding. And all of a sudden, you start to kind of overplay, and it just kind of just snowballs, and you lose control. And that's natural. It's not just him. It happens to a lot. Happens to me. Happens to a lot of football players.
A lot of people complaining a lot that TJ Watt is getting held and it's not getting called, and that it's worse than ever right now. Do you agree?
I think everybody's getting held in the NFL, right? And an offensive lineman. It happens with corners. They hold people, and are the refs going to throw the flag every single play? So you hold people, Corners hold guys, receivers all the time, and then they throw the flag once or twice, and they're willing to give that up to be able to hold the whole game. Offensive linemen are going to hold, and it's only a penalty if it gets called, if the flag's thrown.
There's a hold, and there's egregious holding, and I think a lot of people feel like Watt gets borderline tackled.
But I think there's also, as Steeler fans, and it happens in Philadelphia with Eagle fans,
Yeah.
You look through a different lens, right? Oh, my goodness. But my guy got held more than that guy did. Well, the reality is they all get held, and some are more egregious than others, but holding is holding. Whether it's egregious or not, it's holding. And so I think right now is you can't throw the flag every play. And that's the reality, because right now the game's already slow and it's happening, and you just have to deal with it and you have to overcome it.
Arthur Smith made an interesting choice in the second half. When I thought it was Najee time or maybe Warren time, suddenly Cordarrelle Patterson is in the game as a running back. When you're trying to sort of ice the game, last year in Atlanta, he averaged 3.6 yards a carry. He's down to 2.7 with the Steelers. Can he still be an effective running back? And should he be in a game just suddenly appear when they're trying to ice it and get carries?
Well, first of all, I'll say this. I think when he runs the ball, Cordarrelle Patterson, I think he runs the ball well. I think and even though he's older, it doesn't mean – you saw the run in the preseason where he had that long run.
Yeah.
And he looked very explosive. And he broke some tackles in his runs against against Broncos this last week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, he got hit in the backfield and he was able to get back and get a positive 1 yard gain or 2 yard gain.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that he's not able to do it. But I agree with you. Najee Harris is your workhorse. Najee's running hard. I think he's running as well as he's run his whole career, in my opinion. I love that he's running like his hair's on fire.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there's only one guy right now that I've watched in the NFL in the last couple of years that runs, I think, harder than him, and that's Pacheco. Pacheco runs hard for the Chiefs, right?
Yes.
I think Najee's running really hard right now, and he's not hesitating anymore like he had. Remember, it's been kind of the criticism in the past. He's hitting the ball downfield and downhill, and I really like the way he's running. And so I believe, I agree with you, that he should be in there in those closeout moments.
Lastly, from that game, and we'll move on to the Chargers, it became unwatchable in the second half with all the penalties.
Yeah,
there were 19 enforced penalties for 202 yards. The worst call of the game, I thought, was Dan Moore got called for holding, and I kept watching it. Where did he hold?
Yeah.
Was that game over-officiated?
I think a lot of the games are, but yes, I think it was over-officiated. And even Joey Porter Jr.'s penalty, hands to the face, I didn't see that either. I didn't see any hands to the face. So it's just interesting, some of these calls that are being made. But the reality is this, it did get boring in the second half, and it was hard to watch. And the Steelers, you know, their offense sputtered in the second half, but a lot of it was their self-doing. I mean, they did it to themselves. You know, if you look at it, there were three plays that stood out to me in the second half. There was, in the third quarter, there was a third and one where Najee ran for nine. Well, first of all, the play before, he ran for 9 yards. And it was third and one, and he ran for a first down, got 3 or 4 yards, and it got called back for a holding on Connor Hayward when he came around on that counter.
Yeah.
And then another time in the fourth quarter, there was a third down conversion to Calvin Austin, the third, and it got called back for that holding that you're talking about, right? And then you had another third down where you had the bad snap. Three plays in the second half, two penalties. You can't get into a rhythm, right? So they went 0 for 7 on third down. Almost half of those third downs were because of penalties that weren't converted. And so you have to look at this thing and think, hey, we've got to clean up our game. That's why Coach Tomlin's bringing refs in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. But also, we've got to make sure that we're not even putting ourselves in a position to have these calls. And they're also, my last thing I'll say this, Joe, there's also an element of refs are going to make calls. It's part of the game, and good teams overcome those calls.
Yeah. I mean, it was both sides. It was just showering, you know, yellow flag. There were two plays in a row, or two out of three, where there were offsetting penalties, and then another one. It was five flags on four plays.
A ton of flags.
I can't watch this.
Yeah, but the thing is, but then people complain about no flags on TJ Watt.
So
you can't have it both ways, right?
Either
you got to live with the flags and know the flow of the game is going to slow down, or they throw a flag every other play on tackles because they're going to hold TJ Watt. That's the only way to slow him down. He's playing lights out.
What worries you most about the Chargers if you're the Steelers?
You know, this is going to be a good test for the Steelers. Are we as good as everybody thinks they are, right? Because you look at the Chargers right now, again, I talked about identity, same kind of identity, same kind of personality. They've dominated the first two games against inferior opponents. We've dominated the first two games against inferior opponents. The Falcons, yeah, they went into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles, but that was a different team than they were week one. I think everybody would say that. They weren't a very good football team week one, and partly because of what the Steelers did, right? But then they went out and played the Broncos, or some people would say they're bottom dweller team. Panthers, right? Raiders, bottom dweller teams. So this is going to be a good big team for both of them to see. But I think the Chargers are going to try to impose their will and they're going to try to run the football. And the Steelers are going to do the same thing. And so we're going to see really who's better defensively to stop that run. And I think it's going to be the Steelers because they have a better defensive line.
Give me a prediction with a final score, both teams' total yards and the MVP of the game.
I think it's going to be, again, a very close game. Until I see the Steelers break out and score more than one touchdown in two games, I think it's still going to be close. Justin Herbert's hurt, and he's only thrown, 137 yards a game right now. And so this is going to be a team that's going to play field position back and forth. And so I think the Steelers are going to win this game, which I could put them at 3-0. I thought they would be at this point 2-1. It'll put them at 3-0. But I think that the Steelers will again, another low scoring game, 17-14, right? 17-10. I just think right now these teams are still trying to find their identity. Remember this, these teams don't play preseason anymore. So September is the new August. They're still trying to work out the kinks. They're still trying to get into rhythm, offensively and defensively as teams. So that'll continue to happen, but I see it improving as time goes on.
Who's going to block T.J. Watt? Isn't there a rookie tackle here?
The rookie tackle,
yeah.
Right? Alt, what's his name? He was a fifth overall pick this last draft, Joe Alt. And they've been really impressed with him. You know, I watched it, and then the talk is they were really happy with how he played against the Raiders and Max Crosby. T.J. Watt's a different beast. I mean, T.J. Watt's on a different level than Max Crosby. I mean, even though Max Crosby, I think, is a top five defensive end.
Yeah.
So they're gonna see who they got. So they've got to get him some help. But then on the other side, you got Alex Highsmith, who had a really good game last week, right? Put some good pressure on the quarterback. But they also have on the other side that left tackle over him, Rashawn Slater, is a first round draft pick. So very similar to the Steelers, right? They got two first round draft picks that are starting right and left, and they're gonna see what they got in these young fellas. And the Steelers are gonna go out there and see how good they really are. It's gonna be a wonderful game to watch.
Yeah. This is right out of the Hokie era. Oh, I mean, this is old school football.
I loved playing against the Ravens because we were just gonna line up and see who was tougher.
Yes.
And really, we were both tough, but we were going to say who was going to make the least amount of mistakes and who was going to hit the longest in these games. And that's going to be what's going to happen on Sunday.
Hokie, you're a wonderful man, and we'll talk next week. Should be
looking
very interesting.
It will.
See you, buddy.
Good luck, brother.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.